Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Albin Hears. Father Peter is the founder of Uncut Mountain Press and the rector of the parish of the Holy Prophet Elias in a small village in the mountains outside of Thessalonica, Greece. In this podcast, Father Peter shares with us his 10 years of experience of living the faith and serving the church in Greece. Here's Father Peter.
Welcome to another postcard from Greece. Well, in the last program, we spoke of our new martyr, Father Daniel of Moscow, and the example that he gives us in doing mission work in today's contemporary world. And as you remember, we were talking to you about our time in Athens and our speech down there in the Diocese of Glyfada. And I was relating to you some of the things that I told the faithful there. About a third of my talk was dedicated to the example of Father Daniel. Well, in this program, we're going to continue with his example and his missionary program, which I think is exceptionally important for every priest to put down and to organize in his parish, is to have a program, a spiritual program, and as well as a missionary program. And so I think it's really a great example for us to follow, all of us clergy, but all the lay people as well, Father Daniel's example, which obviously was very successful. As we related in the previous program, he was personally responsible for hundreds and hundreds of conversions to Orthodoxy in just a short span, about 10 years' time as a priest. And really the last 5 years, I think, or 5 or 6 years, is where he saw the greatest fruit of the work. Well, I think his program speaks for itself, his spiritual program, the basis of his missionary parish. I'm going to relate that to you. Present that to you, and maybe here and there make some comments, but I don't think I need to do much commenting myself. I think his program really does speak for itself. And let's begin with the most important aspect of the program of the missionary parish, and that is the basis of the missionary parish, which is the inner life of the church, which is the life of prayer. And if a parish priest does not, first of all, put forward that as the most important formation of that life of prayer for the parish, well, then everything else, any external activity, any activity toward those outside the church really will not have the mark of the Holy Spirit and will not bring spiritual fruit. So Father Daniel put as the most basic and important aspect of the missionary parish is prayer, and that is a very active prayer life, morning and evening services. And from the very beginning, he began what he called a prayer watch. And that is that if anyone entered the church at any time during the day, they would see that there are certain people there on duty, reading the hours and the Psalter. And these people would assist immediately anyone coming to the church who they did not know, any newcomers or just passerbys. They would assist them. Assist them in understanding the church, learning of the church. They would have flyers or other things to hand out to them. And these were the same people who prepared Christians to go through catechisms, and so they were very experienced. They explained the basics of the faith to them, as I said, and handed out pamphlets on baptism, Holy Communion, and other things. You have to remember that contemporary Moscow, there's, you know, millions of baptized Orthodox Christians, but there's also millions of very superficial Orthodox Christians. That is, people who've never really been catechized at all. When communism fell, millions were baptized, but very few were catechized. And so it's a tremendous job of catechizing and bringing the baptized Orthodox Christians to the life of the church. And a lot of what you're going to hear from Father Daniel is that kind of activity. So Father Daniel was by no means, you know, your classic missionary among heathens or among those of other religions. He was also, a large part of what he was doing was bringing the Orthodox, the baptized Orthodox, but superficial, to the deeper life of the church. So he, as I said, focused first and foremost on the divine services and the prayers of the church. In addition to morning and evening services he had on Saturdays and Sundays and other feast days, he had those who were in charge of catechism, like Tatiana. He mentions her by name. Very close co-worker. Let me pause at this point and say how important it is for the clergy, the priest who's working in a missionary parish, to have good coworkers, one or two or three in the beginning, at least that he can rely on and that are well-educated and understand and also spiritually mature. And it's interesting that Elder Paisios of the Holy Mountain told Papa Cosmas, Father Cosmas Grigoriatis, who was also a great missionary of the late 20th century, who was killed in the Congo in 1989, but tremendous missionary work in a short amount of time, like Father Daniel. And he told Father Cosmas when he was going to the Congo back in the 70s, he said that, you know, really the first and the most mature Christians that will be baptized, they're converts to the faith, those are the ones who will do the most missionary work for the church. And so the missionary, actually, his job is mainly to teach, to impart the faith, but a lot of the missionary work from that point on is done by lay people, those who've been converted, who could go on to become clergy later on, but in any case, the locals, let's say, in the case of Father Cosmas in Africa, but also the lay people in Moscow who can approach and are the eyes and ears of the priest. And so Father Cosmas had good co-workers like this Tatiana. And she was responsible for the catechumens and the catechetical talks, making sure that as people come to the catechetical talks, by sending them greetings with the forthcoming feast day and calling those who already been baptized to come to the church, etc. So she had a lot of work on her hands, keeping tabs and keeping in touch with all of the newly illumined, as well as those who were being catechized. Well, Father Daniel greatly stressed the Holy Scripture and learning the Holy Scripture, the four Orthodox Christians to read on a daily basis the Holy Scriptures. And he had an interesting rule. He had three sermons every Saturday and Sunday. His first sermon that he gave was during Vespers. It was about the passions and the virtues and the memory of the saints of the forthcoming day. And then the second was the normal interpretation of the gospel, which takes place after the reading of the gospel, and not most appropriately at the end of the service, although that is oftentimes the case here in Greece. The appropriate place is right after the gospel. And the third sermon that was given was the end of the service, after the close of the service, which was an interpretation of the apostles' reading of the day, the epistle. And he put those sermons on the internet for anyone who wished to listen. They could go and listen or watch, rather, the sermons on the internet. When the priests were taking Holy Communion in the Holy Altar, and when the faithful were waiting to commune, Father Daniel would have Holy Scriptures read. It's common in Greece on a daily service to have Lives of the Saints or readings from the Holy Fathers read. But it's interesting that Father Daniel put the Holy Scriptures and stressed the Holy Scriptures to a great, great degree because of the great ignorance among contemporary Orthodox Christians in Moscow of the Holy Scriptures. Well, after that, we can really mention also the forming of the community, which did not take place only during the divine services, but throughout the week. Immediately after the Divine Liturgy, all the parishioners would gather and drink tea and coffee, and this would help create a tighter community. That's something that people are used to in places like America, but that's really not that common in Orthodox countries where in small villages people see one another throughout the week, and so there's not this great need to get together and discuss things. In a big city like Moscow or in Athens, it's more like the American situation where people are separated and they don't see one another throughout the week. And so Father Daniel initiated that, and I think was one of his small little practical ways of creating a tighter community. On Thursday nights, right after the Vespers, he conducted a Bible study. And he studied the Holy Scriptures always on the basis of the patristic writings, the Holy Fathers, never just his own opinions or the opinions of the people there. And that's very important because that is a basic prerequisite for studying the Holy Scriptures, and that is that the God illumine, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who spoke like the apostles in their day, illumined by the Holy Spirit, those are the ones who are going to teach us what the meaning of Scripture is. Otherwise, it's very easy for us to do Bible study, not unlike a Protestant would approach the Scriptures, which is not the traditional Orthodox manner and does lead to confusion and could even lead to schism in the church, as happens in contemporary Protestantism. So the basis for Holy Scripture is reading the Holy fathers and the writings of the Holy Fathers on Scripture and understanding them through the lens, through the interpretations of the Holy Fathers. Now, this lesson lasted for 2 hours. The first hour was dedicated to the Old Testament, and the second hour was dedicated to the New Testament. And again, after these lessons, he would have tea, and he would have those who were coming to the lessons bring the tea and prepare the whole meal, and that way they would be taught a little bit of what it means to serve and to love the brethren. It's interesting that he mentions that people of all sorts of backgrounds attended these talks on Holy Scripture, including Protestant pastors, members of various sects, even Muslim imams, priests, that is, Muslim clergy, as well as, of course, the churchgoers and those who were just starting church life. So there was a wide variety of people present. So it was really a missionary outreach every Thursday night that Father Daniel was doing. On Friday, he would have the catechetical school, and this was a school that was required of all those who were preparing for baptism. He had 5 talks on the faith, and so this whole preparation for baptism lasted about 40 days, and the talks were held, as I said, every Friday. It lasted for 2 hours. The first talk answered the question of who is God and what is his nature and other such questions. The second talk was about the creation of the world. He spoke about the angelic world, the rebellion of Lucifer, the 6 days, the relationship between revelation and science, ancestral sin and human nature, and other such issues. In the third talk, he talked about salvation as was performed and given by our Lord Jesus Christ, from the Incarnation to the Last Judgment. And he based his talk on the life in Christ by St. Nicholas Cavassilos, famous text on the 3 holy mysteries of baptism, chrismation, and the Eucharist. The fourth talk was dedicated to the structure of the Orthodox Church and the sacraments. And he dwelt in detail on the sacrament of baptism, and only the sacrament of baptism, for those who were preparing for baptism. He did not speak about the other mysteries. He wanted to create a natural curiosity so that those who were baptized would still have much to learn and have zeal to learn more after baptism. So he did not reveal. And that's really an ancient practice of the Orthodox Church. It goes back to the distinction that St. Basil mentions between that which is within those who are initiated, and that's the mystery of the gospel, let's say, or the theology of the church. And then there's the kerygma, the preaching of the gospel, and that's for those who are not yet initiated into the life of the church. So Father Daniel continued that. And another aspect of that, another example of that, is the ancient practice of dismissing the catechumens about halfway through the divine liturgy after the sermon. And that's in some places still being practiced, and I think it's really appropriate in our day and age. We're no longer under the Turks or in Holy Russia. We are a missionary church all over the world, really. And so there's no reason why this very good practice should not be initiated again, especially in places like America, where it is the case that the catechumens are oftentimes totally, let's say, this is all new to them, totally a new experience to them. And so rushing it is detrimental. Having them just emerged and standing side by side with the faithful and receiving the same treatment and the same psychological preparation and all of that does do damage. And so there is a great benefit for a gradual initiation of the catechumens. The dismissal of the catechumens is an important part of that. The fifth talk was dedicated to the commandments. And he talked about what is good and what is evil, and about also the basics of asceticism. And he wanted to offer people ways to fight sin. And he wanted to call people to the norms of absolute perfection, because he felt that nothing less was required of the Orthodox. And if he did not call them absolute perfection in the spiritual life, which was what the Lord calls us to, a continual deepening of perfection, then he felt nothing would come of it at the end. People would lose their focus. So those are the 5 talks that he would give during the catechetical school every Friday. About twice a year after Nativity and Pascha, he would offer talks about the church sacraments, and he would invite the newly baptized and the other parishioners. He would talk especially about the beauty of the Holy Eucharist. He insisted that in these talks, every parishioner should participate. and that he had learned from hearing confessions that a large number of regular parishioners did not know the basics of Christianity. And so he was very intent on them being initiated in this way, in a deeper meaning of the church. Now we're coming to the external missionary work. Up until this point, we're talking about the internal missionary work, the teaching of the faithful and the teaching of the catechumens. But now we're going to talk about his school for missionaries. He called it a preparatory school for missionaries. So this is those who've been initiated, who've been educated in the faith, are now received into a school. They take a test, actually, an entrance exam, before they can become participants in this school. Father Daniel really wanted to use this school, which he started in 2007, as a way to deprive sectarians of their weapon. He wanted to take the struggle to the streets, to the gatherings of the various sectarian groups in Moscow, and preach to them the gospel and deprive them of their advantage of on the streets and in the society, because the Orthodox largely, almost exclusively, did not do that. And many people were actually initially scandalized because Father Daniel was so active and so motivated to go and take the struggle to the Protestant missionaries, or really missionaries from various backgrounds, many different groups, Muslims and others. And he wanted to break down the barriers that can be found in the various cultures of the different nationalities that were present in Moscow that prevented them from accepting Orthodoxy. The news that Orthodoxy is the universal faith to which all nations are called is still considered scandalous to some, because they have a very narrow ethnic idea of what Orthodoxy is. It's for particular cultures or for a particular time, out of date or old fashioned kind of Christianity. And so Father Daniel really wanted to combat this. And that's why he started the mission. One of the reasons why he started the missionary school. Now, having gathered his group of missionaries, and they had those who had passed the entrance exam, he would explain to them how to speak about the dogmas of the faith in a modern language with examples, based on the Holy Scriptures. And we'd also explain to them the various sects, including the study of Islam and the polemics against occultism and other religious practices that people are engaged in contemporary world, like the Theosophy group and the groups that the whole movement has spawned. Now, after they had finished their initiation, he would immediately send them out to the streets. He would have them wear badges with the Apostle Thomas's Church written on it, Apostle Thomas Church. They would go out to parks, bus stops, yards. They'd invite people who are passing by to come to the church. They would hand out leaflets, talk about confession and baptism to those who were already baptized, or that is, confession to those who were already baptized, and baptism for those who were not already baptized. He would also give out the Gospel of Mark for those who really showed a great interest. And it was remarkable that in many cases, as soon as they understood that they were not some sect, but they were Orthodox Christians who were approaching them, they were very happy to talk. And so there was not this reaction that the other groups would provoke. After they had learned to work together, he would send them to more difficult missions and tasks. And that is to give a sermon to guest workers, that is, the immigrants from various countries around the world that are in Moscow, especially from the Middle East. Or to talk to a meeting of sectarian groups there, heretical groups that would meet. He would actually go into the meeting and talk to them. And his message, when he was visiting, for instance, groups of the charismatic movement or the Baptists, he would start by proving, the basis being the Holy Scriptures, that the Orthodox Church is the Church of the Holy Apostles. And he says that our main idea is that we are messengers of Christian unity. We are not calling these people names. We're calling them, rather, to realize Christ's own commandment, that all may be one. That is, that the unity is possible, but only in the truth, in the faith of the apostles that has been given to us by God. And he would tell them, let's look at this frankly, openly, where the truth is, and let us unite in the truth. And so this very open, active engagement of the groups, sectarian groups, I think obviously would have just thrown them because they're not used to that from the Orthodox, but it also would be, for many, a start on their path to Orthodoxy. He says that fortunately this voice is not lost in vain. Many members of various sects come back to God, to his church, and our whole parish, seeing these repentant Protestants, Pentecostals, Satanists, magicians, undergo this spiritual ascension, it brought great, great joy and peace to everyone in the parish. And certainly one can imagine what dynamic spiritual life the parish enjoyed during Father Daniel's pastorship there, and what that must have done to their parish life to see converts continually coming in and lives being changed and the church growing. Truly would bring joy to the heart of every believer there. On Soul Saturdays, the missionaries would work even harder. They would go out to the street near the church. They would explain the need of the Orthodox who were coming, because many Orthodox in Russia will go to the church on Soul Saturday to pray for the repose of the souls of their relatives. They would explain it's necessary not only to light candles, but also to participate in the holy mysteries. And they would even go to cemeteries where the hardest sermon of the day was given, and there the greatest results were produced. And then there were the days that Father Daniel called the days of the great invasion of those of little faith. And he means by that Theophany and Great Saturday, because many, many Russians go to church on Theophany and Great Saturday or Pascha, but they go for the customs that they enjoyed as Russians, for a good feeling for many of them, and wanting to be there present on the joy of these feasts. And they would greet everyone who comes for the holy water or for the blessing of the Paschal cakes. They would talk, the missionaries that is, would talk about sacred history, talk about confession. They would talk about the need for baptism and marriage. They would hand out leaflets and invite people to meet with the priest. So this was, for many people, the beginning of their path to salvation, their first step on the way to the kingdom of heaven. And then there's also the Paschal procession. And Father Daniel comments that there's an internal force that has brought people together out of the warmth of their homes to the dark street in the middle of the night to participate, at least partially, in the Paschal celebration. And so Father wanted to use this as an opportunity to reach out to them. And so in the interval between the Paschal midnight service and midnight, he would read in Russian the gospel passage about the woman who brought anointments to Christ's tomb late in the night. And usually he would take it from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. And he would tell the parishioners and those who listen on the street about the main hope of the Christian, and that is the hope for the resurrection of the body, the forgiveness of sins and life eternal. And the loudspeakers in the church would broadcast these sermons out for everyone on the street to hear. Even before the sermon starts, the missionaries would approach every passerby, greet them on account of the feast day, and invite them to the service, giving them leaflets about confession and communion. Father Daniel also started a publishing house. And he would publish literature in a variety of languages, prayers and the Psalter and the basic elements of the faith. And he would publish those in Russian, Tatar, Kyrgyz, and Chinese, in Chechen, Turkish, and Azerbaijani translations as well. So he was not just interested in Russians and the ethnic church, you know, the church of the nation, but he was interested in the reaching out to those of all the nations and all the peoples that had gathered in Moscow. He had other ideas that he was interested in implementing, but was not able to do before he departed for the next world, for the repose of the righteous. He wanted organized what he called confession vigils, and that is the vigils where the priest would be there to listen and hear confession, and people would be free to come and speak to the priest throughout the vigil, and at least begin to get purged, as he said, from the most serious sins that they had committed. And he wanted to also broaden the missionary opportunities by using trips that they would take, pilgrims' trips, to different parts of Russia. And while they were on these pilgrimages, to go out and preach the gospel in those areas that they were visiting. And this really was the heart of Father Daniel's mission, or rather his greatest joy, and where he felt that the greatest fruit was being produced in terms of mission. He said toward the end of his life that as he looked out at the people during the celebration of Pascha, he was surprised that on the face of his parishioners, he saw not only the great joy of Pascha, but how many of those parishioners were just recently converted, and they were converted through this missionary outreach. There's Father Daniel's spiritual program, his missionary program, great example for contemporary priests around the world. Really, I think the context for this mission that he was doing there really is not much different than a lot of the big cities around the world today, multicultural, and in many ways an environment that is unmissionized, has not been touched by the Orthodox Church, just like contemporary Moscow is in need of great mission work in bringing those who've been baptized, but also those who have yet to hear the gospel, to a full life in Christ. That's Father Daniel, and I pray that his example inspires you, as it has inspired me, and that we can, in some small way, follow in his footsteps.
You've been listening to Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Alban Hears, founder of Uncut Mountain Press and rector of the Parish of the Holy Prophet Elias in the mountains outside of Thessalonica, Greece. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.